Good morning, River Oaks Community Church, River Oaks family. It is my prayer that this little message finds you well. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. As you can observe from the background, I am recording my Sunday message again at the church. And I am recording it today, Sunday, April the 19th, at approximately the time I would normally deliver my message if we were gathered together. So I am actually in the church here on Sunday morning, and it's a good feeling. For the most part, but I do miss you. And as I look out onto these empty chairs, I can actually picture you sitting in them, because I know where most of you do sit on Sunday mornings. At least usually you sit in the same spot. And I can visualize your lovely faces, and I can anticipate us being together again, and it makes my heart long for that moment in the very near future when we'll gather together again and worship the Lord and have fellowship together. I am thinking about that first Sunday back whenever it does happen, and I think it's going to be just a wonderful time of celebration and coming together. I'm sure that we'll probably still have to be cautious and practice social distancing, and maybe that will never change now in the future. Maybe it'll just be the way it is. I'm told that, you know, maybe handshaking will be a thing of the past, and hugging will be limited to just those people that we live with, et cetera, et cetera. Who knows what it's going to be like, but I'm sure it will be different. But I do look forward to that moment when we get back together again. And I don't think it's that many days away. But until we get there, we'll continue to practice what we've been advised to do. And I'm just praying that God keeps our congregation safe from this terrible virus. So this does mark the sixth Sunday since we last met for worship, at least in corporately in River Oaks Community Church, and that marks approximately 42 days ago. It's in some ways it seems like it's gone very fast, and in other ways it just seems like forever. As you are aware, governments around the world are starting to put plans in motion about how we will start up again and how society will regenerate itself with the, you know, normal flow. I don't think we'll ever go back to just, you know, everything being just the way it is. At least we won't be going back to it very quickly. But pray as they work through this. We certainly don't want to see this thing, you know, another wave of this infection get out of control again. So pray that the governments would use proper timing, and they would use wisdom of how they will implement society coming back together and getting on with life, so to speak. Thank you for your support during this time in prayers, text messages, all kinds of ways that you have communicated with us. Thank you for your support and giving during this time of suspension. We appreciate it all so very much. Continue to pray for each other. And as I said, continue to pray for our government and our community and our cities. These men and women need wisdom and strength as they face this. And, you know, it was quite a decision to shut everything down, but it's equally as difficult to start everything back up again, particularly when they know that this virus is still seems to be alive and well, I'm sorry to say, in our society. Someone sent a quote to Patricia a few days ago, and you'll recognize it. It has been quite prominent since 9/11, you know, 9/11, September the 11th, 2001. It's been quite prominent. I had forgotten about it. It's a very interesting thought, though, for a time like this. Apparently, it is a quote, so I understand, from a fictional character in a movie, an older movie, I think called Fallen. I know nothing about the movie, and I don't know how the quote actually fits into the overall theme of that movie, but it nevertheless is a quote that captures the reality of life, I would say, in general. And here's how it goes. You'll recognize it, I'm sure, because it's it does find itself to be on has been on, you know, many type of communications from certain people. So here's how it goes. There are moments which mark your life. Moments when you realize nothing will ever be the same. And time is divided into two parts, before this and after this. Let me read that again to you. There are moments which mark your life. Moments when you realize nothing will ever be the same, and time is divided into two parts, before this and after this. The truth of that statement applies to us personally. There have been certain circumstances that we all have experienced from time to time that have been milestones in our lives. I can recall several, even as I'm standing here recording this message. And we all have those moments. Some people may know about those moments, and maybe nobody knows about those moments. But there have been circumstances that we've all experienced that kind of apply to this statement, this quote. We recall life before the circumstance, and we recall life after the circumstance. And often these defining moments, not all, but often they are described or could be described as challenging times in our lives, yet some good has come from it, maybe a lot of good. Maybe those milestone circumstances that we, you know, have made such a mark in our life that we look, you know, before the circumstance and we look after the circumstance, and that circumstance has been a marked moment in our lives. And some good, maybe a lot of good, as I said, have come from those things. There are the large events, like, you know, world wars. We might think about the, you know, the Great Depression. None of us were there, at least most of us were not there. Some actually in our congregation were young, but they remember aspects of it. And then we think of course, 9/11, which I've already mentioned. And now COVID-19, and I'm just mentioning a few. There's other things that have happened in this world that have been large events that affected everybody. But I'm just mentioning a few. These large corporate events alter us and have altered society and alter us personally. There's no doubt about it. They cause people to mark time, just as that quote from that movie suggests. It's even though it's in a movie and it's from a fictional character, it is nevertheless a true statement. They cause people to mark time before it happened and to mark time after it happened. It's just that simple. One such moment that came to my mind when Patricia read this was the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, God's only Son. So much of his beautiful, beautiful life and ministry, as beautiful as it was, filled with miracles and teaching like the world has never heard before or since, really. But his life and ministry, as beautiful as it was, was surrounded by challenge and difficulty and trial and testing. But such divine goodness came from it. Nothing was the same again, and time was literally divided into two parts. We know that. Before his life, and death and resurrection, and then life after. It is actually called BC, which you know means before Christ, and AD, which is Anno Domini, or Domini, I should say, Anno Domini. And of course, Anno Domini just simply means the year of the Lord, and BC just simply means before Christ, before Christ. You see, the effects of certain events in history are so pronounced that they actually imprint themselves on time. And nothing in history has been so marked as the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, our Lord. The impact of Christ lives on so powerfully and so in such a marked way. And we might ask why, because it was so long ago. Well, it's because he is alive. He is still alive. He rose. And his spirit is at work in this life, even now. But the work of Christ was so prominent that it really did mark time like nothing else in history. And that's quite a statement, because even what we're going through, I don't think there's ever been a time in history where all the nations over a virus, all the nations in the world, or at least the majority of them, have basically come to a standstill, to a stop because of a virus. This is a worldwide pandemic. And then we think of the Great Depression and the World Wars and many other things down through history which have made a mark in time. But nothing has made the mark in time like Christ. Christ actually changed the calendar. His life changed the calendar. It's before his life and after his life, death, and resurrection. His large world event is also very personal. It's very personal for every believer. For God so loved the world. For God so loved each person. Our lives are clearly marked as life before saving faith in Christ and life after saving faith in Christ. So when the Spirit of the living Christ comes into our souls, we are changed. We are transformed. And I'm sure as we look at COVID-19 is going to make a mark in history. Life after COVID-19 is going to be somewhat different. Some of it will be good. I'm thinking of, you know, things like public transit. I think public transit in the future, whether it be a plane or a bus or a train, I think they will clean it. They've always cleaned them. But I think they will be cleaning them now and wiping them down like never before. One good thing that has come out of of all this COVID-19. I have learned, I've always had somewhat of an understanding of technology, but I have had to learn some things about technology, like YouTube, for instance, that I'm using right now, or at least will be uploaded to YouTube, which will eventually allow me to get it to you. I've learned things about that I didn't really know before. Those are good things. Those are good things. So even though there's many bad things, and none of us would ever choose those bad things, and we are grieved with the losses that have come from this wicked virus, nevertheless, there are good things that will come from it, I'm sure, as life gets back in operation in the future. Our lives are clearly marked as life before saving faith in Christ and life after saving faith in Christ. And when the Spirit of the living Christ comes into our souls, we are changed. As I said, we are transformed, the Apostle Paul says. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, but now, it just simply says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Now, Paul is writing this decades later, decades after the death and life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that event so marked time, particularly in time as God would recognize it in his economy, in his plan for mankind, his blood was so big, was so prominent, that Paul looks back to that moment when God gave his life, when God gave his only son, and his son gave his life for the sins of the world. It changed the world, it changed time, it changed everything for good, forever. Paul goes back to that when he's writing to the Ephesians, but now, he says, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. And in that same chapter, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, again Paul picks up this theme of before and after, and he says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens. How separated is that? But he says, you are fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. What beautiful words. Yes, the cross was a very dark moment. The cross was, you know, was an instrument of death, as we learned on Good Friday again. But out of that marked moment, that marked event, came life before that, and life after that. And the apostles and the New Testament writers are constantly alluding to that very fact. But what warm, beautiful words, descriptive words, are brought forth by the apostle and the power of the Holy Spirit. We are now part of God's household. We live with him. He lives in us. And what a beautiful result that is from his marked moment in life. It is a picture of life before Christ and life after. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the scriptures read, and that is what some of you were. What Paul was doing there in his letter to the Corinthians, he was talking about, you know, where some of them had come from, and when Christ found them, they were practicing things that were very detrimental to themselves and to society and to their families. And so he says, and that is what some of you were, past tense, before you found Christ, before the cross of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. But he says, now he goes to the future, after Christ's death, after saving faith, but you were washed, washed. You were, listen to the words, sanctified, set apart. You were justified. Justified, spiritual, judicially justified in God's sight through the death, life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. One of the great results of life after the death and resurrection of Christ is the coming of the Holy Spirit, the coming of the grace of God. So much so that this age, this after the cross, this age after the cross is called the age of grace, the age of forgiveness, the age of God's eternal blessing through his Son. Well, we cannot ignore the verse in his second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 17. We all know this verse so very well, but it's so applicable to the thoughts and the theme of my message this morning, where quote is certainly applicable to so many parts of life, but it is really applicable to the Christian life. There are moments which mark your life, moments when you realize nothing will ever be the same, and time is divided into two parts, before this happened and after this happened. Wow. It's so beautiful. The Holy Spirit moves upon the Apostle Paul to write these letters, these words. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is or she is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. John 14, it is recorded that Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. You trust in God? Trust also in me. What Jesus was saying there in such beautiful language, he was saying, trust in God, but remember, I have come from God. Remember, I am his only begotten Son, not created, but I have come and I've taken on flesh as the second person of the Trinity. I've taken on flesh and I've become like you. And my greatest mission, my greatest ministry in life is to go to the cross, give my life freely as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. And then he said, and he predicted he would rise again in 3 days. And as the angel said, he has risen just as he said he would. Well, Jesus is saying, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, which is a good thing, but believe also in me. Believe in the work that I have done. Believe and have this saving faith in me, and life will change for you. Life will be different than before, and life will be brand new, for I have come to give you life. And then Jesus said, and I have come to give you life more abundant. He is a living, let me emphasize that to you. He is a living comfort. There's a reason that AD means the year of the Lord. It's the year of the Lord because he's a living presence. Each year is his year. Each year is a gift to the human race. It's his history. It is his time. It is his age of grace. He is a living comfort because he is a living presence. And he is a living strength because he walks with us, he talks with us, and he tells us that we are his own. He loves us from everlasting to everlasting, and he will never, ever leave us nor forsake us. He fills our lives, even in the midst of difficulty and challenge. He fills our lives with peace. He fills our lives with love. He fills our lives with grace, truth, and joy. God is literally with us. His presence is an ever-present help in trouble. And he takes the troubles of this life. He takes the troubles of this life, both personally and corporately. He's not the author of death, sin. He's not the author of viruses. He is the author of life and goodness and peace and grace. God has a plan. And even in the midst of trouble and challenge, both personally and corporately, God has a way with his power and his presence and his strength to actually bring good out of challenge and difficulty. That's the picture of the cross. That is an absolute beautiful picture of the cross. He fills us. God is with us. And he will never leave us, nor will he ever forsake us. Let's pray together. Father God Almighty, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your many blessings, your grace, your love, your presence. We thank you, Lord, that your coming in flesh into this world, there has never been an event like it or before or since. And so much so that you literally changed the way we measure time. It is before you came and after you came. This is the year of the Lord. This is the day of the Lord. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. Father God Almighty, I commit our nation to you, our world to you, our city, our community. I commit each and every single person, Lord, that calls River Oaks Community Church their home church. I pray, Father God, that your protection and power would surround them in every way. And for their families, Lord, their children and their grandchildren. And Father, we think specifically, Lord, of people who have lost loved ones. Not just people that have lost loved ones to COVID-19, as terrible as that is, but other people have died in the midst of this pandemic, Lord, and their family have not been able to celebrate their lives or conduct what we would call a normal funeral. So be with them, Lord. Surround them with your love and your grace and your mercy and comfort them, because you are the God of all comfort. And we thank you, Jesus, that we describe you, that you are described in the book of Hebrews as one who is able to sympathize with us. You've been tempted and tested in every way, yet without sin. So you are our genuine, legitimate high priest who consistently intercedes for us, for your body. So we lift up our world to you. We know that this pandemic has not overtaken you by surprise. And we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace. We just commit ourselves to you, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to have your own way. We ask you, Lord, to do a work in our lives. Help us, Lord, I pray, to understand what really is important in this life. And Father God Almighty, we pray now as you taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses and sins as we forgive others who have sinned and trespassed against us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. God bless you, River Oaks. I look forward to being in this very sanctuary with you in the very near future. May the Lord be with you in the name of Jesus. In Christ's name, amen.